Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1.
Medications require eligibility and prescription. Patients on 15 milligrams of tirzepatide had an average of 21% weight loss in a 72-week clinical trial when paired with diet and exercise. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
That's a gay-ass name for a gay-ass podcast.
Yuli Morazan is back on That's a Gay-Ass Podcast. Do you remember when you did this podcast last, Yuli?
Oh my God, part two. The bitch is back. When did I do this podcast last? I feel like it's been like some time, maybe like a year ago.
It was November of 2022.
Oh my God. Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. So we've got a lot to catch up on. Obviously, we know each other outside of podcastery and the internet, but Yuli, we have so much to follow you, which is probably only like, what, four people in the world. Yuli has an amazing social media presence at Yuli and Ernesto. You've been touring a live show, the I Love Yuli tour. You have an amazing podcast called Current Besties with your bestie Jazz, and your very gorgeous husband Ernesto is a part of your content, in addition to your thirst for whom, Pedro Pascal. So we're going to get into a lot of these topics, including why you're running so much and who you're running from. But I want to start us off with a podcast question that is a bit of a twist on the podcast question. And the podcast question is, if we've already asked whose fault is it that you're gay in 2022, Yuli, what is your current gay obsession? Is there anything you would like to dish on that you're currently obsessed over?
Well, I have to say, probably my current gay obsession is the secret lives of Mormon wives.
Oh my God.
I have been sick like over the weekend, which has been bad for my body, but it's also allowed me time to just be in bed. And I also didn't realize how many seasons there were. I think I saw season one, and then I started season two, and then I like kind of like it fell through the back burner, and I feel like a month has gone by and they're like now in season four. I was like,
I think they released two like back to back. They're sort of like content farming these poor women's horrific lives.
There's so much going on. I feel like it's just too much content for them not to continue filming. I feel like, anyways, so my newest gay obsession is Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. I'm almost all caught up to season four, and I can't imagine. It's shocking to me what happens in these lives of these women. In a span
of these wives
in like,
well,
a matter of months. I'm just like, I can't.
Can I tell you why I think it is so traumatic for them?
Please.
It's because they all come from a religion that has fucked them up so deeply. And it's all about perfection. And look what happens when you try to be perfect. You have the fucking craziest, most roller coastery marriages, and then one of you get cast on The Bachelorette, and then you fuck that up. I mean, the whole thing is dork-sided.
It's so insane. And like each of them, not just one of them, they all have so much trauma and so many things. I feel like a lot of them are like not even super, super Mormon anymore. I feel like a lot of them have like, you know, not left the church, but like have considered other things and different options, but still, like, even in a reunion, like sexual assault, about to get divorced, like, it's just like, how?
Well, I think there's a lot of people listening to this podcast who I'm sure used to be a part of the Mormon church or used to be part of a religion that like made them feel insane.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm lucky because Judaism isn't like inherently like, I mean, sure, I'm not going to say all Jews are like not homophobic, because like obviously like Orthodox Judaism is anti-gay, but like it's of the organized religions, I feel like Jews are pretty good about sort of the queerness of it all. However, Mormonism, I think, is like there are so many ex-Mormon gays. Do you have any friends of yours who used to be Mormon?
I went to a high school that had a bunch of Mormon students at it. And that's how I like learned about Mormonism. And they were all so hot. And they were all like,
so hot.
They were all like, the Mormons at my high school were so hot. And they were like, yeah, you can't touch us though, because we're super religious.
Which makes them what? Even hotter.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just like, on our floor in our apartment building, there's like, I don't know what the fuck is going on, but there's an apartment that is down the hall from us that always has new Mormon boys cycling in every year.
Oh, interesting.
And I know they're over 18, so I'm allowed to say that they're hot, but they're also like, I'm usually not attracted to anybody who's under what, like 29 and a half, but these fucking Mormon boys, I don't know, maybe it is the like untouchableness that makes it hot, but y'all Mormons can get it.
It's also so fascinating, especially with the TV show, about like all the loopholes that they go through of how strict the religion is. It does kind of, not to say that Mormonism and Jewish people are the same, but I do think watching the show a little bit and like learning about like more of the Mormonism through these specific women, it does remind me of Judaism in a way, because like you have the people that are really extreme, like Orthodox Mormon, who are like really intense, and then you have some people that are like kind of in the middle, that are like they go to church and they're like not intense, and then you have some people that are like, I'm Mormon, but like I don't really like, I drink alcohol.
Well, you're speaking to the just like, I think religion as a whole, about like there's such a wide spectrum of it. Cause like, well, no, I think you're right. You're right with the Judaism. Cause like there are, like for me, I don't really go to synagogue much anymore as an adult, but I love celebrating the high holidays. In fact, Passover is this week. So Chag Sameach to all of my Passover girlies. But but no, you're right. There's like really intense religious Jews and then Mormons. Yeah, I guess that could be the same. But like, you know, the not drinking any alcohol and like them only drinking soda, the soaking of it all, like jumping on a bed so that you're not actually, you know, what's crazy. I'm having a flashback to, I knew some Orthodox Jews in college who, were not, they were going to save sex until they got married.
Oh.
But they, I guess the loophole was anal was okay.
And right.
So they were like doing ass shit.
Right.
But like, where, you know, love finds a way, Yuli. Love finds a way.
Anyways, I have been watching The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives and I've been obsessed. I can't wait to finish season 4. Will there be a season 5? I have no idea. Do you watch the show at all or do you know?
I watch it over my husband's shoulder while I'm doing anything else. He watches it religiously and I really love that he loves it. I'm more so, I don't think my time on this earth was meant to be spent with those women specifically, but I do love A Real Housewife of Salt Lake. I love to see about the Mormonism through their eyes.
Similar vibes, right? Like Mormon,
very similar vibes, but just like a little, I don't know, a little, I guess I just love watching women who have a few more years on them. These women, I'm like, I'm watching girls from my high school. I'm like, I'm still not ready. But like, I am proud. I am thrilled that Whitney from Secret Lives of Mormon Wives crossed over to Dancing with the Stars and now Chicago on Broadway breaking box office records. That to me is
so delicious. Cool. Yeah, very cool. I will say though that like I think you're right about the age thing, because Secret Lives of Mormon Wives feels very high school. It's like high school, and like I know that like every season has like a different villain, it seems like, you know, season 1 was Whitney and then 2 to 4 was Demi. And like, I think actually season 4 is Jen, maybe a little bit, but like, I feel like they're all mean girls to certain, they all like decide that they hate one girl and they all like kind of like, as a mean girl, like attack her. And they're like, oh, if you want to come back to our little group, we have to vote you in. And it feels very mean girl. I feel like Housewives, there's like a maturity there that's like not as high school.
Exactly. I agree. There's a nuance to the bitchery, to the dramery. But I do love to think about you sort of holed up in your house while you were saying before we hit record that your husband has just been enjoying, I guess what, the lack of your voice being around?
I guess so. Yeah. Me being sick all weekend has really like made his life so much better. I've just been like cooped up in my room, like dead in bed. And he's just been like, he had the best weekend of his life, I guess, because I was comatose and asleep for half of it.
Okay, so I think your followers might want to know, and I certainly want to know as your friend, between you and Ernesto, who is the better nurse? If one of you is sick, who is better at taking care of the other?
I'm better at taking care of Ernesto.
Interesting.
No questions asked.
And do you think that would surprise people who follow you?
Yeah.
we're both cough laughing because we're it coming over. I had fucking laryngitis. You had whatever you had. Well,
I think people are surprised because people assume that, or I think I put out that like I'm more of like the chaotic, narcissistic, independent one that like is always trying to leave my husband at any minute for any man that looks at me, which isn't 100% wrong, but I'm definitely more of a caregiver. Like I have more like caregiver tendencies. I'm the oldest. I'm like on the older side of my siblings. Ernesto's the baby of his family. So we definitely have still like that dynamic. Like when I'm sick, I'm taking care of myself, or I'm like coming out of my room and I'm like, Ernesto, do you care? Like, are you going to get me something? Or like, Ernesto, can you please get me a glass of water? And he's like, ugh, fine. But like when he's sick, I'm like checking in every 10 minutes being like, babe, how are you feeling? Is there anything that I can get you? Like,
does he appreciate it when you tend to him when he's sick?
I would hope so. I would fucking hope so.
He must. It's just so funny because, like, you know, you put so much of your relationship online, but also there's like so much truth with it. But there's also like, you know, the nuances of what it's like off camera.
Yeah.
And I think it's just so funny to see your journey, especially because did you know that Confession Hole, the Glory Hole talk show that you shot a month
your
or two
show,
ago?
Your show, yes.
I mean, my show is premiering next week. Did you know that?
I had no idea. No.
And your episode is the second one that we're releasing. So,
oh, wow.
So in literally like 2 weeks, you're going to start seeing clips. 2 to 3 weeks, you're going to start seeing clips of you on a bathroom, on a toilet with a glory hole between us. And are you ready for your followers to see you sitting at a glory hole?
Yeah, that's what they expect that of me. They're like, okay, this is where I expect Yuli to be. However, I don't even remember what we talked about or what I said. I guess it'll all come to light in a couple of weeks. I know I talked about Pedro. I know there were some sexual stories, possibly. I forget.
There are. And speaking of, once we finish on the main pod here, we are going to cross over to Substack for us to have a hornier conversation in honor of the Confession Hole, but also because the Substack girl is like the XXX. I'm going to ask you about your first boy kiss. I'm going to ask you about some X-rated questions, SSRIs, losing your V-card. So that's a little tease. But before we go into the horniness of that, I do want to get into what is happening with this running, Yuli. I'm concerned. You just did a 16-mile run. Is that a cry for help? Who are you running from?
I'm running from myself. I have no idea. It needs to stop, though. It needs to stop. What am I doing? I don't know why. I did the New York City Marathon in November, which was really cool. It was really fun. But I had only started running 4 months prior to that. So like to get there felt like this huge hill to climb. And after I finished, I don't know what happens to your brain chemistry after you finish a marathon, but you become kind of like narcissistic and egotistical when you like finish a marathon. And I was just like, oh, I could do this. I could do another one. I'm like, oh, okay. Like just sign me up again. Like this was so easy. I could finish. And so now I'm doing the London Marathon at the end of April, but like November Yuli feeling super confident and like, I can do this again in a week. Cut to now having to retrain and gear myself up again to do another marathon. Completely different Yulis.
Yeah, you're less than a month away.
Yeah, and like I'm so unprepared.
I'm not joking with you. Running is one of the things I like the least. And I had worked out with a friend a few weeks ago. He's like, yeah, we'll just finish it off with a 1 mile run. And that was very hard for me.
It's hard. It's like, it's hard. It's also what's so hard about running and just like marathons in general is like finding the time to run and like put it in your schedule. And like, there's also like weather that you have to consider, like if it's like raining or if it's like there's a heat wave in LA that has happened like for the last month. It's like, it's so stressful to try to like figure out like how many, and you're supposed to run like 3 to 4 times a week and you're supposed to increase. I'm supposed to do a 20 mile run next weekend and I'm still recovering from being sick. And I'm just like, I haven't been able to run since being sick. So I'm like, how am I going to do 20 miles? Like, it's just, I don't recommend
it. Someone told me, I want to ask you a question that someone told me who he's been running, Chris Ryan, shout out. He told me that at a certain point when you're running a certain distance, your like animal brain takes over and you start to feel like this feeling of like you're being hunted and you stop thinking about the distance. And it's almost just like pure adrenaline or like ecstasy, or just like you just hit a point where you're just like your body's moving and you're not like feeling or thinking about the pain. Has that happened to you?
Who is this? Who is this person?
He's a gay guy named Chris.
Chris is lying.
you're miserable all 16 miles of a few days ago. You're miserable the whole time.
What I will say that maybe he's referring to is that at a certain point in a long run, you're just moving. Like you're not even thinking about running. You're not like your legs are just going. Like you're not really like.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's this like euphoric, animalistic, spiritual thing that happens, at least not to me. But at like mile 10, like after a while, I'm just like, your legs are just like, you're just like in motion and your legs know what to do. Like you're working less hard. You're like thinking less about the running and you're just moving. Something that helps me in these like longer runs is actually like going through different neighborhoods, because then you're just like, obviously like you're not doing the same loop over and over again. You're like seeing different things, but kind of ironically, like doing like the social media videos of like, I'm on mile one now, I'm on mile two now. Like that actually makes it go by a lot faster. And I think it's also because you're like, you're not really only thinking about the run. Like, especially for me, I'm like thinking about like, oh, what's the next joke that I'm going to say for mile three? And like, what's the next joke? And it kind of makes it go by really fast. Have I felt this animalistic, euphoric experience that this Chris guy is saying? No, I have not. But
Chris,
you know, good for him. Good for him.
You've got 12 hours to respond. We would like, I mean, if anybody listening actually enjoys running, please let us know what gets you through. For Yuli, it's finding out what joke is going to get you tens of thousands of likes and comments, which really I respect. I mean, you and I had lunch, a few months ago, and I was like asking your advice about, because you're so good about your social media content. Good about just like putting your own personality out there. And I think that we talked about a little bit during Confession Hole, which is that you were not bullied in high school. And I think that maybe, is that a part of your confidence, do you think?
I guess so. Maybe. Or like maybe I was bullied, but it didn't really affect me. I don't know.
You have a shamelessness that if they were to put it into a pill, I would pay money for.
Oh, thanks. No, I just like putting my shit out there. I don't know what that, because like the only person that can really judge me is me. I don't know. I've never really cared about like what strangers thought about me. Maybe that's a defense mechanism too. I think growing up like brown and gay, like it was just like, let me just like not care what people think, because like if I start caring what people think about me, then that might actually ruin me. So maybe it's a defense mechanism. I don't know. I don't know what to call it, but
well, it's a it's a really smart defense mechanism because you're like, baby, I don't want to dim this light. It's too gorgeous.
Yeah.
But like, do you remember? I'm sure we talked about this last time, but last time we did this podcast, it was 15 years ago.
So
did you come out in high school or was it after you left for college?
Oh, I came out in middle school to my parents.
Wow.
As bisexual. Because my brother had found some gay porn that I had printed out from the library. And so,
which, by the way, I was going through your episode on this, and that is like the teaser clip at the beginning.
Oh, that's so funny.
You printed out photos at the library and your brother found your stash.
He found my stash. And so I came out in middle school basically being like, I know I'm not straight. I think I'm also attracted to men. I don't know what that means, but I think I called it bisexual at that time. I don't know if I said bi or if I just said that like I'm attracted to men also. But I came out to my parents in middle school, and then I was just kind of, I never told friends or anything else. I think I just was trying to figure it out. I just wanted my parents to know. And then I came out in college to like everyone, to my friends.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like freshman year or did you
wait? Junior year. Yeah.
And so freshman, sophomore year, were you dating women or were you just giving nun vibes?
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
I had a girlfriend in high school. So I also, like, my trajectory was kind of like, we can talk about this more at the Substack part, but I ended up losing my virginity and hooking up with a guy when I was 15. And then after that, I got a girlfriend when I was 16, and we stayed together until my freshman year of college. And then we broke up at the end of my freshman year of college. So then I really just had like the sophomore year of college when I was like kind of like available, and I was making out with a lot of guys and girls and just kind of like, I wasn't dating anyone, but like, I was in the theater department. We would go to parties. I was making out with like girls and guys. It didn't really matter.
What school was this?
UC Davis in California.
Shout out UC Davis. Okay, amazing school. My journalistic follow-up is, did your girlfriend from high school go to the same college as you, or were you long dist?
No, she didn't go to the same college with me. So we were long distance, which ended up leading to our breakup. But I mean, we probably would have broken up anyways, but
I think that is true, Yuli. I do think you would have broken up. I think that's a classic tale as old as time, though, like the high school relationship The people that actually last from high school and then to like college and then to get married is so rare. In fact, my in-laws are that way, and I have so much respect for them. They met in high school, they dated, and now they're like been together for a billion years. So shout out to them. But
wow, that's a lot of changing. That's a lot of like changing and growth. And like, did they stay in the same city?
They actually went to different colleges, but both in Georgia, but they ended up, I think, like having a lot of crossover with friends there. What's really beautiful about them is that they are still friends with their like middle and high school people, because they all stayed in Atlanta. And so like they now have these gatherings where it's like people they've known since they were, you know, 10 years old. And they all now have like kids and they're starting to have grandchildren. And it's like, it is a very sweet, like, that's one of the only things I miss, I would say. I feel like I'm missing out on about leaving my hometown and like embracing my gay life, is that there is like, we've had to sort of have a rebirth as adults, I think, especially as gay people. It's like, you know, we don't actually have the beauty of sticking with the same people, because I've changed so much since I was in high school. You, on the other hand, though, like, you're very close with your family, and you, like, you're, they live pretty close, correct?
My whole family's in California. So, yeah. I mean, they're like Northern California. I was born and raised in San Francisco / Sacramento. Like, so yeah. Like all up there. And then I have family in Florida. And then what was lucky for me as far as friends go is that like my core group of friends from college all moved to LA. And then some of them like moved to San Diego, but we're all like I'm still very close to like a lot of the friends that I've had for a really long time, which is really lucky because they all kind of just like came to LA with me. And with high school, like I'm not as close with all my high school friends, but when I do go back to Sacramento, I do make it a point to see them. So it's not like we're seeing each other every weekend, but like we definitely catch up at least once a year, and it's kind of like,
Yeah.
Cool to see them.
I have a few girls that I went to high school with that I still love and see. Yeah, like once, twice a year, and that's amazing. But it is interesting. Like, I don't know if it's a gay thing or just like if you move away from your hometown, but I feel like adult friendships is just an interesting, you know, it's hard to maintain really strong friendships, especially when people are like, you're talking about, like, even if it's a friendship or a relationship, you have so many different chapters in your life, whether it's people having kids or moving away or new jobs or whatever it is. But did Jazz, who you co-host Current Besties with, did Jazz go to college with you?
Yeah, that's where we met. Yeah. So love. Jazz, I was a freshman. He was a sophomore in college. And we both got cast in You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown.
Okay, give us the roles, Yuli, as a theater queen.
He got cast as Schroeder.
Shout out.
And I got cast as Linus.
Oh my God. Linus is the blanky boy.
And I was a freshman, and I just like walked up to him and I was like, we're going to be best friends, just so you know. And he was like, please get away from me, you freak. And shortly after that, we became best friends, and we've been best friends ever since. We also like, I think the reason with Jazz specifically, we've gone through so many things together. Like, we both were in college together, but like we both like came out like around ish the same time. Like we both experienced a lot of like the same things in life together. I have a lot of friends that like also like, you know, we moved down and I'm very close with, but with Jazz or something, like we were roommates in LA for like 7 years before I met Ernesto. Like he was like my one roommate in LA. We were both hoes in West Hollywood together for the longest time.
Okay, we're pinning ho conversation for Substack, and we're pinning you're losing your virginity at 15 for Substack. So I'm putting that into the back of my mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, you guys have had many a chapter, because now you're what? Like you've been married with Ernesto for how long?
10 years.
Yeah. When's your anniversary? When do you count your anniversary? Wedding or date or dating?
I think we really celebrate the day that we met. More so than everything. It's December 17th. It's the day that we met in FUBAR. For me, that probably is like what started our journey, like the day that we locked eyes on each other. And like that first initial night, it's just like for us, I feel like feels more of like an impactful story. Like I feel like when we first like officially became boyfriend, boyfriend, like that doesn't like that all feels like it blurs together for me. But like the day that we met and that started is like the day that we celebrate the most. And then honestly, our wedding is October 2nd. And there is so we've had like other weddings that we've had to go to every year or like events that we've had to go through every year since then. So we don't really like we acknowledge it, but we don't really like celebrate it in the same way. It's just like such a busy time, I think.
Was this past December the 10 year or is it coming
this up? This past December was the 10 year. Yeah. And Ernesto.
Well, mazel tov. That's fucking huge. A decade with your man and you've survived putting out all these videos online too. Like that's...
Barely. I've gotten in so much trouble. You don't know how many times I've gotten in trouble with like the videos that I'll make. And Ernesto will be like, why did you post that? You should have asked my permission. It's just like, it's such an interesting thing because he wants to be so, he's very choosy about what he wants to be involved in. And I'm an open book. And also we have different career trajectories. My career is entertainment and, you know, spilling my guts to the people. His career is corporate. And like, it's very like, he can't have everything out there like as much as he like wants to. And so like, sometimes he'll be like, that was too much information. And I'm just like, oh shoot, sorry. It was just really funny.
Oh shoot, sorry. It was a gorgeous video. Have you ever, has he ever made you delete a video?
I think one time I took a video down. Yeah. It's usually like, I'll post it and then he'll be really upset about it. And I was like, I can take it down. And he's like, don't take it down now. It's already out there. But one time, I think I took it down. I think he said it was too far and I took it down. Now I've gotten into the habit of asking him permission before posting. Like I'll send him the video first and then be like, hey, is this okay to put out there? Like it involves you. And sometimes he says yes and sometimes he says no. So there are so many videos out there that I've made about our relationship that he's like, that's too far.
Wow. I love to see how the sausage is made. But I think it's also a sign of the growth of your relation, which is you asking for permission, because before you probably did the whole adage of I'd rather ask for forgiveness. But that I don't think that always works in a marriage, or sometimes, in a long marriage.
Yeah. And like sometimes I'll post something and I'm like, he doesn't care about it. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like I felt like this maybe could have been something I asked about, but then he'll be like, oh yeah, that wasn't a big deal. But now I just play it safe because there's just been too many times where it's gone to the point where he's like, how many times have we talked about this? And I'm like, okay, let me just play it safe. Ooh. Because at the end of the day, as much as I love dragging him through the mud and like making fun of our relationship, I obviously care about our marriage and our like first and foremost, and I also care about respecting him and his boundaries, unfortunately. So I've gotten to the good habit of like asking permission first.
And you know what, we shout out your husband, and that is something also that happens on Confession Hole, which is I do thirst over him because how could I not, he's stunning. But I also think it's hard to date someone who works in entertainment, especially when like they're putting out their personal lives. Are you watching The Comeback season 3 on HBO yet?
I haven't started yet, but I'm so excited.
I think it's only 2 episodes in thus far, and it's so excellent, but I think that there's like it's also devastating because there's so many realities about how embarrassing the entertainment industry is. And like Valerie Cherish, you know, you like watch her husband having to deal with her, and I just can't help but think about people like Ernesto or Matt, where it's like they're just trying to live a life and here we are doing a time step.
I will say restaurant. Though, wait, hold on, I will say at the same time,
yeah, defend us, Yuli.
He got to go to the Super Bowl. Okay.
True.
He got to do a glam bot. He got to see all these actors walk by the actor awards. He gets to go to all this cool shit because I get us the opportunity. I fight for the plus one. And I'm there stressing out, having to work my ass off, getting this footage, making sure like I'm not there relaxing. I'm not there having a good time. I mean, I am. These events are really cool. But at the same time, I'm there to create content. So I'm always like, what's the angle of the video? What do I have to do? How much do I have? And he's there having drinks, having a great time, chumming it up with all these celebrities, going to the Super Bowl, seeing Bad Bunny perform live. And he's like, and let me tell you, he's not complaining at these events. He's sitting pretty. Okay. He's like, okay, great. This is amazing. Okay. I have an opportunity. I have an opportunity to go to a Lakers game next week. I don't know when this is going to come out. And I get to meet the cast of Running Point and I like possibly do a video with them. And do you think Ernesto's complaining about that? No, he's not. No, he's not.
You're upset you get to meet Kate Hudson?
Exactly. Baby. So, yeah, I guess I do understand that there is a side of it that's like, oh, we put them through the mud, or like, you know, like we put them through all this turmoil. But at the same time, he's had a lot of amazing opportunities because of it and because of me. So let's not go too far.
Make sure he knows.
And let's not go too far.
Make sure. Okay. No, you're right. There really, it's two sides of a Hollywood coin, and I love to see your rise. A couple of quick points before we cross over to the Substack of it all. Speaking of the glambot of it all, tell me, what did it feel like to have an actual glam bot done? And follow up, was the long curly haired guy there that got canceled?
First question, the glam bot was so insane.
Tell the listeners where you were when you were able to be shot by the famous glam bot.
Ernesto and I were at the Actor Awards, formerly known as the SAG Awards, but now known as the Actor Awards. With Netflix. And actually, we saw the glam bot earlier in the day. They say that the more important you are as a celebrity, the later you get to the awards. So Ernesto and I were there when it opened. Like, we were the first ones there. And we saw the glam bot and we saw people doing it, but we kind of just assumed that we were just like, oh, you have to be on a list, I'm sure. And then as the time went by, this girl that was like sitting next to us, another influencer that was there, she was like, oh yeah, anyone can do the glam bot, just go. So then we like snuck out of the influencer section, which we weren't supposed to do, and we go to the glam bot, and we just like wait in line and we do it. And it's such a nerve-wracking experience. It's like, because it's just like, I feel like you just want to do a good job, and like you just want to make sure your pupil finds the camera really fast, and you don't want to be like those celebrities that like can.
Have you seen the Sigourney Weaver one?
I think so. Yeah, where it's like she can barely find the camera.
Well, she's turning around, and listen, I don't know. It's like ballet dancers have to spot when they do pirouettes. Like, you have to be able to know exactly where the camera is, and it's what, like 3 seconds? I mean, they're slowing it down so much that you have very little time to nail it.
Well, I knew that going in, and I've seen the people that made the mistakes, and the trick is, or at least what I told myself, which I think worked, is that he's like, this is where the camera's going to end. So like, you just immediately have to go there. You can't find the camera. You just like go to the where it ends.
I see.
He's like, the camera's going to end right here. So my eyes went right there.
Boom.
To that spot.
Did any part of you worry that you were going to be in a Final Destination SAG Award edition and the camera's going to go off the hinge and plow through your skull and kill you?
No.
Perfect.
It's not like the camera is still so far away from you, even though it's moving so fast. It's not like it's not like it's gonna hit you in the face.
Yeah, I'm picturing like they're just whipping a camera around in a big old rope.
But Ernesto and I were like kind of like trying to figure out what pose we should do, and Cole, the guy with the curly hair, was there. And he was so sweet. He was so sweet. He ended up...
He seems nice. I feel bad about the whole kit and caboodle.
He was so sweet, and he helped us figure out our pose. And he's like, how about... Because we were like, we wanted to do something like fun and maybe a little bit funny. And he was like, how about you guys like turn from each other to looking at the camera? Sorry. And he was really sweet, but did he have to be sweet? Because now, like, after being canceled, you kind of...
Oh, this was post.
This was post being canceled. He was very sweet, but like at this point, I feel like he has to be.
I mean,
but also, he seemed. Like, I feel like he seemed sweet He seemed like a sweet guy even before he got canceled.
I agree, actually. Like, not us talking about something that happened months ago, but like, I do think he seemed nice. And it was just like the DMs that he got, for anybody who doesn't know, these DMs got published where he was like interacting with somebody who wanted to book him for their wedding, but he was like, basically, you can't afford it. And it did come off a little like not great, but whatever. I hope the Glambot guy is happy and well. And
I think I get the criticism about the emails. He did come off very condescending and rude in the emails. That's for sure. And I think he acknowledged that too, saying that he acknowledges how rude he was. But I think generally, like, as a person, he seems like a very nice guy, and he was really sweet to us.
Okay, well, this is going to bring up, see, I could talk to you for hours. I want to do another, just in terms of, like, he got canceled because he really wasn't very known, and then the more and more the Glambots became a thing, the more and more kind of scrutiny, or just, like, and the emails get dropped, whatever. You, on the other hand, have grown this giant platform. Do you ever worry when you're out in public, if somebody comes up to you, do you ever worry, like, was I nice enough, or have you ever had someone like post online that I met Yuli in person and he was a dick? Like, does that ever happen?
Not yet. They haven't said, or I haven't seen anyone call me a dick yet. I am worried though, like, after an interaction, being like, I hope I came off really nice. I hope I like came off really well. Ernesto thinks I actually take it too far. He's like, I think he's like, people want to say hi. He's told me, he's like, stop talking to people. They just want to say hi and potentially get a photo and then leave. But I'm always like, where are you visiting from? Like, just like engaging. And he's like, stop it. You're doing too much. But I just like, I don't know. I feel bad. I don't want to like, that's my worst nightmare. It's also probably like going to happen one day. Like, in this day, like in this age of like internet and social media, and like, it's, I mean, hard to be like perfect 100% of the time. And so like, I'm sure one day maybe there will be an interaction that someone didn't enjoy. There was this one time that I was in a bar and I just felt like a natural end to the conversation. And so I was like, oh, it's so good. Well, it was really nice to meet you. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm so sorry. I'll leave you alone. Like, sorry to bother you. And I was like, oh no. I just assumed like, we were done talking. And then I kind of felt like, oh, did they think I was kind of like trying to end the conversation and being a dick? I don't know.
No, I'm not at Yuli and Ernesto's audience size, but I am like starting to have people come up to me at gay bars specifically, and that happened a month ago where I was like, it was so nice to meet you, and then I heard this gay say to the whole group that I was talking to, oh, he's like, fuck off. And I was like, perfect.
Oh no. Yeah,
because it was genuinely like a really nice conversation. It was like a you know, solid conversation. But you know, it's just a funny existence, and obviously just comes with the territory of putting shit out online, whether it affects our social lives or our marriages or beyond. But since we're going to cross over to the other side, let's just do a final question for this main interview. We ask about character actresses on the main podcast. However, you recently spoke about your top four films on current besties.
You saw that.
Would you say that Sandra Bullock is a character actress? That's my question for you.
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, personally to me, what I've seen, I don't think I've seen a character actress. When I go to see a Sandra Bullock movie, I want to see Sandra Bullock. You know what I'm saying? So personally for me, like what I mean, I love her and everything she's in, and I love,
of course,
I mean, she's up two of my four Letterboxd movies she's in, you know, like I love Sandra Bullock.
Yeah. It was Miss Congeniality and
Practical Magic. How dare you?
Oh my, I mean, those Practical are Magic. Huge.
And I mean, I think, yeah, technically in like Miss Congeniality, she's playing like an ugly duckling in the beginning, and then she becomes like her, you know, but I still think there's like Sandra Bullock. I don't know. I don't think so. No. Do you think she's a character actress?
To, That's what I was going to say is like, I typically over index and say, well, if she's worn a wig a single time, she's a character actress. But I think for Sandra Bullock, she does transcend, obviously, ingenue. She's not just giving like romantic lead, even though she's done many a good rom-com.
Yeah.
I do think she's in a league of her own. I do think that she is not a character actress, but I do think that she is perfect. And whatever she is, it just needs to make sure we include the word perfect. Whether that is character actress or just actress, I think that she is perfect. And I...
Is not being a character actress a bad thing?
No, it's a good thing. But I think that like character actress has been so put on a pedestal on this podcast. I don't want it to feel like I'm taking something away from her.
I think you need to look at yourself actually and think about why you put character actress on a pedestal. I feel like not being a character actress is okay. Because Sandra Bullock.
Oh, so you think I'm now discriminating against ingenues and against romantic leads and non-character actresses. That's
well,
what
I just don't think one is better than the other. And I think clearly you do.
You know what? Let's go fight about this over on Substack because I'm not finished here. Before we do that, though, will you tell these stunning listeners where to follow you and if there's anything you would like for them to know?
You can follow me at Yuli and Ernesto. You could also follow Jazz and I at our Current Besties podcast at Current Besties Pod. If you'd like to see me and my fat dumpy live, you can come see me on tour. I'm going to Chicago, Austin, Denver, Dallas, Toronto, before I wrap this one up and before I do my second tour. So,
oh my God, it's all happening. She's an international performing icon. Current Besties podcast is a great new pod. Go follow Yuli at Yuli and Ernesto and go see that fat dumpy around the globe. And Yuli, thank you for coming on. That's a gay ass podcast. Now, everybody, come to Substack, and the paid girlies there are going to get the questions about your V-card lucidage. I also want to talk about hair transplants because you talked about it on your podcast.
Hell yeah.
And first kissing and all. So, Yuli, you're the best. Let's go to Substack.
Okay. See you guys there.
That's a gay-ass name for a gay-ass podcast.